is Access All Areas on FUBAR Radio with Bobby Norris.
Good evening, guys. It is Access All Areas. We are live on FUBAR Radio. I'm Bobby Norris.
And I'm Ellen Collin. I nearly forgot.
You had to think about your name then, didn't you, Ellen?
I'm just getting too relaxed in the studio now.
Too chilled. You're giving Easter vibes in the pastels.
Thank you. I said I'd bring out the pastels. Oh, and the sun came out, so it worked.
Happy days. Wear them again next week, my love. So, guys, we are in for a right treat. It's a banging show. We are joined by Tempting Fortune star. We've got Mr. David,
yes,
the vicar. So controversial.
Drama.
So we're going to be talking, yes, exactly. It's all about the drums. And then Married at First Sight star, Casper. But first, you guys know, we all start with a little bit of showbiz too. And this week we are joined by the lovely Stella. How are you doing, girl?
I'm good, thank you. Always a pleasure to be back.
Oh, always lovely to have you in. A vision in red, Stella.
Oh, thank you. Stop it.
Beautiful.
Had to bring in the vibes. But Bobby, congratulations to you. LGBT award nominee in the house.
Oh, yeah. Thank you, babes.
Incredible. Talk to me about that.
So I didn't know I'd even been nominated for it. And then I made the shortlist. And then I was literally told when it was made public. Mm. So I'm in the final 10. And I think voting closes Friday.
Amazing.
For me, even to be in the final 10, it is just an amazing thing.
Who else is in the category with you?
Do you know what?
It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. It's about Bobby Norris there.
There's Bobby, there's Norris.
But I think there's loads of different categories. It's an amazing awards do every year. But I'm up for LGBT Celeb of the Year.
Ooh, that's a good title.
Fingers crossed. Mm-hmm. But thank you everyone that even nominated me to even get me to the final 10. But if you want to give me that final push and vote for your boy...
Get voting, yes. Mm. So, BritishLGBTAwards.com. Come on, let's go.
Thank you, guys. Oh, what a lovely way to start the show.
You're going to have to bring your award in when you win.
Yes.
I want to see it.
We'll have it in the background. I'll come and I'll show you all at home.
Exactly, if
I win, obviously.
When you win.
I don't want to, like, don't want to jinx myself. Anyway, enough about me. Anything else in showbiz land this week, Stella?
Yes, it's very reality TV heavy. So, I'll start off with the first one, even though it's an alleged story, but it's got a lot of people talking that Love Island, it will be back very soon, back in June, and apparently it will be a first for this year, or first for the series anyway, that they'll be introducing their first transgender contestant.
Wow.
And it's an interesting one, yeah, because of course everyone's just like, yeah, woo, okay, progression, we love it. But obviously people that have watched Love Island over the years, we know how it is, we know the type of guys that they bring in. So how is that gonna be? How are they gonna
Yeah,
of course, because we don't want to see any silliness on screen and bullying. Yeah. We want to see that that person is protected. And I believe, I don't know the name, but we know that they are a woman. Wow. So, yeah, it's interesting.
It will be very interesting to see how the boys react.
Yeah.
It will be lovely if they do have some men in there that year that are willing and open to date somebody transgender, because it would be such a shame if we go through the whole series and they're just not picking her, and it won't be fair.
Exactly, yeah, and it can open a lot of conversations in a sense if we see that they're being sidelined and people thinking, is it because of XYZ? And then Ofcom's called. It's just going to be a whole big mess. But we've had, I mean, Love Island have welcomed bisexual contestants in the past and it's worked, so this will be a completely different thing. So we'll just have to see, like, when and if it plays out.
So watch this space moment.
Yeah, definitely. 100%.
Yeah, and so from one reality show to another, Celebrity Big Brother, have you guys been watching?
Yes.
Okay.
dipping in and out, as and when.
You guys have to fill me in, because I've only just seen clips on TikTok or on Twitter, X, and Chris Hughes and JoJo Siwa, what's that all about?
We have no clue. We were just talking about it before the show, because I'm like, what's going on here? Because it looked like a brother-sister relationship.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Yeah.
And now it's kind of developing into something more, like they're lying in bed together. He's tickling her back.
That's the clip that I saw. I was just like, the clip of like her, like, and they're in bed and they're like black and white and he's stroking the back. I'm like, oh, brothers and sisters wouldn't do that.
No.
What I mean is, like, what channels are
Because for anyone that doesn't watch the show or doesn't know, so JoJo is an American girl.
Yeah.
She grew up, for anyone who remembers, 100 years ago. ago, I obviously wasn't born. But there was a show called Dance Mums, and it followed the journey of dancers and their mums, clues in the title. And obviously, she's in Celeb Big Brother, but she's openly a gay woman and has a girlfriend at home who's obviously watching this. But there are people now going, is it crossing from friendship to something else?
Yeah.
In terms of especially the bed moment and the back stuff. But then some people looking into it and going, was they trying to write initials on each other's backs for nominations? And maybe it wasn't sexual. Maybe they was doing initials to go nominate so-and-so.
That's true, because on last night's show, she was lying on the floor for some reason next to his bed with her duvet on when all the lights went off. And she had her hand up on his bed and he was drawing on her hand. And then they were kind of talking, going, yeah, I think so, and stuff like that. So Big Brother asked him to come into the diary room and said, what were you talking, the secret messages, what were you doing? Because they obviously thought it was nominations.
Yeah.
And then Jojo said, oh, I was discussing with him how I want to consider myself now. I don't want to be non-binary anymore. Or she's not sure if she wants to be non-binary. But I'm like, how do they get that whole conversation on circles on hands?
Yeah, literally.
Like, what?
Because I think with that kind of show, there's a limit on what you can talk about. So people have to be creative in terms of how they say. But because I saw a lot of people saying, is it giving showmans? Because obviously Chris Hughes is very much, he's been in the public eye. He knows how to play the game a little bit. So I don't know if he's thinking, okay, Jojo, so you are a big name. Let's just see what we can do here. Yeah. Let's get people talking. I don't know.
Maybe he wants to break America.
Maybe. Because
that would be the way to do it. She has millions of followers.
Exactly, maybe.
Yeah. Do you know what would be interesting to know, though? Getting my old, is it Inspector Gadget? Caruso?
No, not Caruso.
No, that's not. My Miss Marple, basically. Miss Marple on. Get your detective right, Bob. I would be interested to see if they both nominate the same people this week.
Oh, yeah.
Because if they do, I would very much go into and lean into the giving codes in hands and on backs of nomination names.
That could be it.
Interesting.
To be honest, I think her girlfriend is hoping that that's what they're doing.
God bless you. It must be absolutely awful.
Just seeing all of that and obviously people putting their two cents in thinking, oh, it's this, they're in love, and it's just like,
that's my girlfriend.
They are flirting so much. I saw another clip on the train on the way in here. It's going to be on tonight's episode, and they're rehearsing a dance routine out in the garden, but his hands are on her hips and they're super close to each other, like crotches close together faces close together, and it looks like they're about to kiss at one point and they both just start laughing. And I'm like, oh guys, it's so early into the show. You're gonna be banging by the end of it.
There's still what, another 2 weeks or something left. Oh gosh,
like if it's this intense already.
I wonder if the girlfriend's secretly trying to get over a victory. A big Jojo, a big Jojo.
I've seen enough.
It's awful to watch, but again, there's playing the devil's advocate. It's a little bit like, if that's going to go on a public TV show, is it better to know that way? Because the chance of someone's willing to do that in front of millions of people,
what are they doing?
They're probably doing that at an after party.
100%.
So true.
And that's
so
how true. I see things.
Exactly.
Yeah. Robbie for Scotland Yard.
Exactly. And in, again, another Celebrity Big Brother story. So Mickey Rourke, he was, I don't know if I'm pronouncing that name right.
Mickey Rourke.
So apparently, allegedly, I'm heavy on allegedly, planning to sue ITV after being kicked out. So was saying a bit of problematic things about Jojo and things like that, and I know people kind of trying to defend, like, oh, he's from a different time or whatever, but Chris Hughes stuck up for her, basically saying, no, you can't say things like that. And apparently something happened offset where he kind of squared up to Chris and the producer stepped in saying, that's too aggressive, you gotta go. So I don't know if maybe he's seen the footage back and he's thinking they've given me a rough edit or whatever, but apparently he doesn't like the way he's been portrayed, even though it's like, but bruv, that was all you.
Can't edit bad behavior. Like, there was a lot. I was surprised he stayed in so long, because there was so many things and he was making the girls feel like very uncomfortable as well. Like,
I was surprised he even got in the house the way he was when AJ on launch night,
I saw that.
I'm surprised they even opened the fucking front door to him. Do you know what I mean? I'd have been like, oh, can we get that Uber pack? Back to Heathrow, please. Thank you.
Exactly.
And she handled it like a pro as well. That's crazy.
I don't know. I just think if it was a UK person and if it was somebody our age, they would have been kicked out, reprimanded so quick.
Yeah, of course.
100%. So many chances.
Yeah, because is it because he, like you said before, like, he was a big Hollywood star, so I don't know if that's the grace that they're trying to like give. I don't know if he's even the highest paid in the house. I'm not sure.
I don't know, but
he was rumoured to be.
He was rumoured,
he was allegedly one of the 400 or the 500,000 mark.
The only thing is, he kept on saying in the house, guys, we're out of here in 4 days. Like, he didn't really seem to know what was going on.
Right.
They kept on talking about the diary room, and he was like, where's this dining room everyone's going to? He hadn't a clue.
Was he getting confused between days and weeks? Who's going 4 days? The agent, I really filled you in, darling, and told you.
Everyone was like, no, we're not going to be out of here in 4 days. He was like, oh, last night, guys, we're going to see you. And they were like, that's not how nominations work. You may be gone tomorrow.
Did he even know he was on Big Brother at this point?
I don't know.
He may have just heard the dollar signs and was just like, oh, yeah, sure, why not?
So I know he's suing ITV, but by next week he'll forget he was on the show, I think.
Yeah, definitely. Okay, so out of reality TV and into another dimension, if you will. So Katy Perry and a few other celebs were in space for a good 11 minutes.
Well,
that's not even an exaggeration. Mm-hmm. 11 minutes. And
I'm shocked by this. So I had to take to the TikTok yesterday because I don't know much about space, do you know what I mean? Mm. I don't even particularly like flying. But I love an holiday. What's a boy to do? So I will get on a plane because I refuse to stay in England forever.
Yeah.
But I don't like it. I certainly wouldn't pay to go to space. It's just not my bag, but I don't judge. Do you, boo? Have a lovely time.
Yeah.
But I thought they was going for at least a couple of months.
Yeah.
But when they took off and they was back in 11 minutes, because I saw Oprah was there waving them off.
Yeah. And I nearly died when I saw Katy Perry coming out and kissing the ground.
I was just like, what happened in those seven minutes or 11 minutes that you were gone?
Like, fair enough, there must have been some sort of like pressure in case they don't come back, or if something went wrong. I get that, but also it just seemed like a massive waste of money and time.
That's what a lot of celebrities are saying, especially from a pro-environment perspective. They were like, what was all of that about if you're going to be there for that long? I mean, people were even saying this shouldn't have even happened in the first place, but to go there for that short amount of time, it's like very much dangerous to the environment. So a lot of people like Emily Radatowski, other influencers and other big presenters were just like, no, this wasn't this wasn't the move.
It just didn't hit the mark, especially in the current climate and everything that's going on in the States especially. There's people can't afford groceries. Like, there's a lot going on with the tariff wars going, and these billionaires are just paying, like, I don't know, something stupid, like $25 million
literally
each
to
do this.
Crazy money. But obviously, like everything, once it hits the socials, especially something big like this, everyone's going to have their 2 pence to throw him, or $2, depending what side of the pond. And there's some people that think it didn't happen at all. Some people think it was like a green screen and a set. And people were like really looking into it, going off allegedly. I mean, I'm not going to go down the whole rabbit hole of what people are saying, but if you've got a couple of days, go on to TikTok and social media.
Yeah.
What's your thoughts on that? Because would there be a reason for... Because I still don't get the whole...
That's what I was just going to say. Like, what was the end goal? Was it just more hype for Katy Perry? Like, I'm going doing a new album, a new tour. Like, I don't know. Was this attention for her?
Was it a music video?
Yeah, exactly. Maybe, actually. Well, maybe it could be.
It's apparently to promote space travel.
Right.
So apparently this is going to become more affordable in the next few years.
Okay.
But they want Jeff Bezos, I think. He was the one who was like, let's get all these powerful women together. His own wife was in the vessel as well with Katy. And Gail, who's like Oprah Winfrey's best mate, she was there too. And they had 3 days training in astronaut school, I suppose. Training for what? I don't know. Because they've done absolutely nothing when he sat there strapped in for 5 minutes.
Mm. But real life astronauts do longer than 3 days. I never went to astronaut school.
It's not longer than that.
It's gotta be, isn't it? And I love that their faces were beated to the gods. They'd all had lovely blow dries. So gravity hadn't fucked up a single hair.
Not at all,
they weren't a lash out of place.
Yeah.
They were still contoured to the gods. So God love them. But for people that think it might not be all it seems, I just think, but how was Katy Katy Perry so connected to love then? If it's not true, that's what you've got to ask yourself. Because she was connected. She kissed the mud.
She kissed the mud, and she was connected to the world, but she didn't think about the world before she took off in this vessel.
She had that little Daisy she had in her hand.
Her little girl's name is Daisy.
That makes sense. Because I was thinking, what's with the fucking Daisy?
Okay,
so there's a nice little meaning to that.
Yeah. But I saw an interview with Gayle today, because we all thought that Katy Perry was the most insufferable one coming out of that, but actually Gayle done an interview today and she turns out she's quite insufferable too. She said so people keep on saying that we were passengers. We weren't. We were astronauts. Wow. I can't even believe I'm saying that now. I'm an astronaut. She says in the interview.
Gayle, we'll love you, but fuck off. Well, if it's going to be more reasonable, maybe we should have a word with Mr. Fubar himself and we'll do a show from space.
Perfect.
In a couple of weeks or a couple of years.
Yeah. Exactly.
No fucking chance. Don't even think about it, thank you.
I wouldn't want, like, I pay to stay out of space.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
leave me alone.
Yeah. Definitely. No,
I'm happy here.
It ain't for me.
Absolutely, not for me.
Let Katy go back up. thank you so much, Stella. Always a pleasure.
Problem.
Guys, we're going to take a little break and then we're going to be joined by David and we're going to be talking all things Tempting Fortune. We'll see you in two.
Fubar Radio.
Access All Areas continues next. Fubar Radio.
That Money Show with Gabriel Nussbaum on Fubar Radio.
Let's go back to the beginning. A mortgage advisor. What does a mortgage advisor do?
So, the main purpose of a mortgage advisor is to help you to achieve the best possible mortgage solution on time and first time. Typically, in the modern day, it's somebody who's going to hold your hand through the full home buying process, liaising with solicitors, estate agents, helping with insurance, and being in your corner on your team to make sure you achieve that goal.
You're listening to Fubar Radio.
Download our app now to listen to your favourite shows, such as Access All Areas, Politics Uncensored and The Dating Show. You can also download and catch up on previous episodes of all Fubar shows, including our box sets. Plus, you can get in touch directly from within the app.
Just search for Fubar Radio on the Apple and Google app stores.
Yay! The Fubar Radio app. Get it today.
Get it today.
It's the sound of your mates alive. Is getting to more gigs this year and the next. It's the sound of saying, I got you, mate. It's the sound of mates enjoying even more of this. It's the sound of mates getting home instead of here. Click your seatbelt, because you're twice as likely to be killed or seriously injured if you don't think.
When you notice something wrong, it tends to grow and eventually take over, to the point you can't really think of anything else. If something in your body doesn't feel right, the thought it could be cancer can play on your mind. Tests could put your mind at rest. Finding out sooner is always better. Your NHS wants to see you. Contact your GP practice.
What the Health with Georges Bertineau on Fubar Radio.
Up now is Ephraim Mason-Clark, professional footballer. You got the chance to work under Frank Lampard. Just tell me a little bit about him.
The first day he came in, it was just like, the word isn't starstruck, but it's just like, this is a legend in not just English football, but football in the whole world. So at the start, it was more of like, wow. And then it's like you just switch off from being a fan to this is like the gaffer now.
Couple Goals with Sophie Kasai and Jordan Brooke.
Maura Higgins.
That's a Jordy Shaw thing.
Has scrubbed a shitty toilet with her ex-boyfriend's toothbrush. Why did she do this?
He's obviously done something very bad.
Do we know who he is? Does anybody know who he is?
No, but I mean, I don't think he'd want to know who he is.
No.
I think he'd probably go and hide in now, whoever that is.
Mate, if you're listening to this, go and buy a new toothbrush because you've still got the same one.
Get yourself to Turkey and get yourself some veneers because I can't imagine them teeth are going to last much longer.
No.
Grab your backstage passes and prepare to access all areas.
Welcome back to Access All Areas, guys. And we have just been joined in the studio by David. How are you, David, mate?
I'm good, man. I'm happy. I'm excited to be here. Come on.
Yay.
We're excited to have you in.
Yes.
You're finally out of the jungle. You
Listen.
Were in Tempting Fortune. Yeah. And you came out more or less the winner. You came out with the most
man.
Money.
Yeah, I'm excited, you know. It was such a crazy experience. My first time in Asia as well. Yeah. You know, all the 8-hour treks, you know, snakes, leeches, lizards. It was just crazy. But I'm glad that, you know, it's over and I could finally eat as much Haribos as I want.
Is that what you was craving the most, sweet things?
Yeah, listen, I've definitely got a sweet tooth, you know. Mm. So when I was just looking at the rice and beans, you know, and just water, you know, it begins to wear thin on you, you know. Yeah. You need something to give you that little pick-me-up.
You need your sugars in you. And when that's taken away, your body just depletes, doesn't it?
Yeah, you know, and you just feel like your whole mood and vibe goes down with it as well.
Absolutely.
And you did bring your vibe up every now and again. You dipped your toe into a few temptations throughout the show.
Talking about toes, I injured my big toe as well, you know. So,
yeah. Oh, no.
Yeah. What happened?
Yeah, like I hit it on a couple of rocks as I was walking through the jungle. There was a part where we had to like go through like a river, so I couldn't fully see where all the rocks were, so yeah, that was painful.
Was that karma, do you think, for the Chinese?
You know, I was upset because it was when we were separated into two groups. The other group enjoyed the Chinese and our group didn't.
Oh, you didn't get the Chinese.
So I was upset, man. But
Chinese would have been probably the best temptation to get. Like,
because
you
also would have got the sugars from like a sweet and sour. That's what you need in a situation like that.
Yeah. So is there any temptations that you wish you did take besides the Chinese that you refused?
The only one that I kind of was reflecting on at the time was the taxi to the next camp. Yeah, because we were on an uphill climb, so it was so hard and just difficult, and it just felt like it was never ending. You know, it was like just kept going on and on and on.
We spoke to Sam earlier, a little pre-record. So anyone listening live, that's probably going to be on next week's show. So little spoiler. Mm-hmm. She told us that she hasn't been invited into the WhatsApp group.
Yeah, you know.
What, is she the only one that isn't in the WhatsApp group? And who is the admin? Because she has told us, she's made a prediction who the admin is. Yeah. I'm not going to tell you until you've told me. So we want you to confirm on air who is admin and is she the only one that hasn't been added to the group? Sorry.
Yeah, Vicky's the admin.
Yeah, she thought
that.
Yeah,
she did.
Yeah, she made the group and Sam was the only one that wasn't in it. I thought that was out of choice, you know, I didn't know.
No, she wasn't invited into it.
NFI'd, not fucking invited.
Yeah, no, she's fuming.
Yeah.
No, I don't think she wants to be in it.
She didn't want to be in it anyway, but she definitely noticed she was the only one not in there.
Yeah. We'll have to set one up with Sam.
Yeah.
Just to get everyone back.
So I've got to ask, mate, what made you want to do the show? How was it sold to you? Was you approached by producers?
Yeah, do you know what? I was approached to do other shows before.
What shows?
I was approached to do Big Brother.
Yeah,
I was approached to do Survivor. I was approached to do Traitors.
Man in demand. Everyone wants a piece of the Reverend.
Yeah, and I got right to the end of all of them. Wow. And then, like, you know, there'd always be a no, like, in the last stage. So then I thought to myself, oh, what if I look for a show? There's clearly some potential there for me to do reality TV. What if I looked for a show, you know, and I found Tempting Fortune? I was like, okay, this sounds good. You know, Temptations, me being a vicar. Mm. And then, but I wasn't really sure, you know, just in case, like I had a lot of backlash. And then I had this dream. I believe this dream was from God. Mm. Come on. I don't know if I had too much pizza the night before. But in the dream, I was playing football. I was one-on-one with the keeper and the devil was in the goal.
Wow.
And like, it was like the last minute of the match. And this one goal would have been like 6 goals in one. And I said to myself, if I miss this shot, people are going to criticise me, so let me just not shoot. And I let the ball roll off the pitch. And then they blew the whistle. I was filled with so much regret. And then when I woke up, I felt like God was saying, a TV show is coming that's going to pick you. Take the shot or you're going to regret it.
Do you think, so in that sense, you think God wants you to do, or wanted you to do reality
100%,
TV? 100%. Yeah, it was in God's plan.
Yeah.
Love that. And do you think the temptations compromised your values as a vicar on the show?
Yeah, do you know what? Yeah. In my mind, I was thinking that everybody was going to see it how I saw it, like just a big game of Monopoly, you know? Like, you know, when I'm playing Monopoly, there's times where I'll be the banker, so I can sneak a little 500, you know, if I'm low on cash, you know? We all do that, right?
Yeah, what church do you run here, vicar? Because I was starting to wonder if you're just one of these stripping vicars.
and I came on with the concept of I'm constantly fighting temptation as a vicar, so...
Yeah.
I wanted a break from fighting it, and I saw this as a moment where there could be times where I can indulge and it wouldn't be quote unquote a sin, you know. Yeah. But you know, looking on Twitter, people didn't take it like that.
I was just about to say, I don't think people saw it like that. They're like, mate, you're meant to be upholding morals and values here, and you just went balls deep into it.
It's a key part of your job roles, isn't it? I guess the whole temptation thing. So I can kind of see you thinking, fuck it, I'm going to sack it off and just do what I want. But yeah, and then social media, people sat at home. What have you kind of had in terms of trolls?
Listen, they crucified me, boy.
Oh, no.
It being Holy Week, man, I can resonate with Jesus now, being attacked by the mob, man. People are saying all kinds of...
It's being resurrected.
Yeah. Just in time for Easter.
Yeah, people were not holding back, man. You know, people saying, you need to resign, vicar. Wow. You know, you're a Judas, you're a snake, you're the devil.
The bishop... Sorry, my religious stuff isn't up there in terms of, I might say the word wrong, but do you answer to a bishop?
Yeah.
What does your bishop say? Did you send him, like, a voice note or WhatsApp and say, I've got... God wants me to do reality TV, bish, back in a couple of months? And then what does the bishop voice night back, is he like, cool, bruv?
Or? Yeah, do you know, I went on, I didn't even let them know, you know, that I was going on. So.
I love that.
Not a lying, stealing vicar.
They're just watching TV, so going,
She lied. You told bullshit lies to the bishop. Where did you tell the bishop you was going?
So I just took my annual leave because you're allowed 6 weeks off year.
It.
Yeah, so I just saved up all my holiday for the show, and I just booked it. And right, I'm off to Malaysia. You know, I didn't talk about the show. So the adverts came out, you know.
Yeah.
And like under the bishop is the archdeacon. So the archdeacon often has to play like bad cop, you know, and the bishop's like good cop, you know, so the archdeacon does all the telling off.
So he's like the governor.
Yeah, exactly, when priests are out of line, you know, so the archdeacon messaged me and was like, you know, I've seen you on television, we need to have a Zoom meeting ASAP, as soon as possible. And then we had the meeting, you know, they said, listen, we expect you to space out your holidays and let us know if there's any more TV stuff, you know, that approach you or anything. I was like, okay, cool. And then they was like, listen, we've just seen the last episode, we need to have another meeting. So I'm asking everyone to be praying for me out there, you know, unless you lot got any job spaces here in the radio, you know.
You could be out of a job soon.
So have you got another meeting coming up?
Yeah.
And do you think this is because of the lying and the cheating and everything?
You know, technically though, I didn't lie about anything. Everyone was talking about the cinnamon buns, you know, and we didn't. Me and Nathaniel didn't tell people that we took it. He's the one that lied and said we didn't take it. I just withheld the information.
Right, so. Different. Okay.
Yeah. Maybe you could look at becoming a lawyer or a solicitor, because you've got a good way of looking at things to suit whoever you want them to suit.
Exactly. Actually, speaking of getting things to suit whatever they suit, at the very last episode, you took the £10,000 when, and so did Nathaniel. But everybody else left it for the group and you could split it, but you decided to take it. And there's one clip of you actually quoting a Bible verse to justify why you took the money. Did you ever think of thou shall not steal, or did you just let that one wash away over you?
Yeah, do you know what? Yeah, I think I was a bit caught up in the moment. You know, I looked at the bag, you know, I just saw the faces of my kids in Disneyland. You know, I thought of the scripture, 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 8. You know, if you do not provide for your family, family, you're worse than a non-believer.
So did you think, fuck it, God wants me to have it?
Yeah, God wants me in Disneyland. Yeah.
God wants all that Mickey Mouse merch. So when's your meeting with the governor? And jokes aside, could it potentially be really bad? Could you be on your toes and
I doubt that, you know, they'll get rid of me. I think they might put me on what they say gardening duty, you know, where they put you on like a bit of a break, maybe to reflect.
Are you good at gardening?
Think about it. I'm terrible, you know.
So
I think that's the worst that can happen.
She can watch Tempting Fortune back again and
exactly,
see.
Exactly, yeah.
Maybe repent.
Yeah, I think they understand that is a reality show.
What do you think they're upset about after watching the last episode? Do you think they're like, you need to be like upholding, you know, certain standards that other people follow? Do you think that's where they're coming from?
Yeah, I think they are probably upset that I took the money. Like, yeah, you know,
a little bit probably.
It was like a huge shock, like, to so many people, you know. And in my mind, I was thinking, I thought everyone would have took it, you know. I thought the bag would have been empty.
Were you shocked when you watched it back that people were like, ah, David won't take it, like, he'll be good?
Yeah, no, I wasn't shocked, you know. I thought that people would have thought that. But my congregation, because I tell so many wacky stories, you know, I used to be a comedian, you know, I used to go clubbing, I used to do a lot of crazy things. So a lot of people in my congregation wasn't totally shocked, because I often throw like my life story in my sermons, you know. So they're like, okay, that comedian is still in him a little bit, so he might be a little bit cheeky on the show.
At least if you're gonna steal from people blatantly on TV, at least she was quite honest. You went, fuck it, I'm taking the kids to Disney World.
Yeah.
At least you go, there's an hole in the church roof. Honest that you're going to have a lovely holiday.
There was something about the church roof,
wasn't there?
Where's my lawyer?
Wasn't. You're the lawyer now, you're a sack vicar. Tell me about the roof.
Was there something about the church roof? Or was that a joke by the host at the end of the show?
Yeah, no, that was a joke.
Okay, good. No, because actually the host of the show, forget his name, but he Paddy McGuinness. Made the same joke as you, Bobby, so you're onto one there. So none of it's going to the church.
Do you know what? We do need some new hymn books, you know, so...
Okay.
Yeah.
And where are you going to steal them from?
Oh, we're giving you an awful hard time.
I'm only joking. Do you know what? It's a reality TV show. Yeah. It's not that deep. We're only pulling your leg. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Like, yeah, it's not like you're running up and down Cali Road,
you know,
doing... Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
And I have to expect, you know, the backlash and, you know, people to be open, you know, what they think and, you know, they're... preconceived ideas.
Because with that dog collar there's a lot of respect.
With great power comes great responsibility.
That is the one.
Well, if you need a reference from anyone to tell the governor, I'll jump on a Zoom with you and I'll try and back you up as a fellow former reality star.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But if not, I think you're on your own, mate. Have a lovely time in Disneyland.
Yeah, exactly. Just don't put any photos online because they may not like that either.
Yeah, and you used all your holiday up anyway. You can't go away till next year.
Yeah, no, that was last year. So this year, I've still got some weeks saved up.
That's good. Yeah. And do you have any more reality TV shows in the pipeline that you'd like to do?
None so far. Like, a couple has reached out. Nothing tickled my fancy, so...
I think you'd be great at Traders.
Don't sign anything. He's close to getting the tin tack here.
True. We have to
let him secure his job. Get another year's contract.
Yeah, true.
She's setting you up here, mate. You know what she's like. Well, thank you so much for coming in. Thank you for being honest. It's an absolute pleasure. Honest with us, at least. I'm glad you had a great experience. Yeah. Have a lovely time in Disney. Mm. Send our love to Mickey and Minnie.
Yes.
And good luck with the governor.
Yeah. And hopefully we'll see you on TV again.
No, definitely. Yeah. Mm.
Fingers crossed. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Take care.
Thank you. Okay.
Guys, we're going to take...
Foo Bar Radio.
Access All Areas continues next. Foo Bar Radio.
Death, a funny business on Foo Bar Radio with Becky Briggs and Natasha Spencer-Levy.
The lovely Matt Phipps.
Hello. The thing that surprised me most was how much joy I took in being like making people feel really uncomfortable. It's so good.
Your mum jokes change completely.
My friend the other day, she was like, "How tall is your mum?" And I was like, "Oh, she's 6 feet under." Yeah, they did not know what to do with that. And then you let it hang in the air.
Yeah.
You're listening to FUBAR Radio.
Download our app now to listen to your favourite shows, such as Access All Areas, Politics Uncensored, and The Dating Show. You can also download and catch up on previous episodes of all FUBAR shows, including our box sets. Plus, you can get in touch directly from within the app.
Just search for FUBAR Radio on the Apple and Google App Stores.
Yay! The FUBAR Radio app. Get it today.
Get it today.
I was fine on this beach the other day. I didn't know the time of high tide changes, and I had no idea it could come in so fast. So I'm finding out the hard way. From this fella, the Coast Guard, who dropped in to get me out.
Ready!
Before you go to the coast, check the tide times online. In an emergency, call 999 and ask for the Coast Guard.
Some companies try to reel people in by promising quick cash if you pay them to claim work expenses. But think twice before taking the bait, because they might just want to land a commission, and it turns out you aren't eligible to claim anything. You'll have to pay HMRC back, and it's unlikely the company will refund any fees. So don't get caught out. Check if you're eligible and make a claim with HMRC for free online. Just search Don't Get Caught Out.
Politics Uncensored.
We kind of act like COVID didn't happen. Well, do you think it's had a lasting impact, at least on that young generation that experienced it?
The legacy of it in schools, you see the legacy of it in people's mental health. We're seeing the legacy of it even in public services, even in hotels, hospitality. Everything was stripped back to the bone, and the UK did not have the resilience to recover. So I think we are still definitely living in a post-COVID society where nothing really works as well as it did. If you think things were damaged by Brexit, things were double damaged by COVID.
Pulse of the Nation with Andrew White on FUBAR Radio.
Danny Harmer, hello.
Thank you, what an introduction.
I heard in an interview, this may no longer be the case, but in 2020 you said you never actually read the original Tracy Beaker.
I've still never read it, and I'm gonna go down with this ship, and quite frankly, I shall never read it. I've got this far in life. And do you know what? I think it's kind of, in a weird way, I think it helped me get the part, because I had no idea of this character apart from the character that I made her.
Grab your backstage passes and prepare to access all areas.
FUBAR Radio.
Welcome to Access All Areas, Casper. How are you doing, mate?
I'm doing really well. Good evening. How are you?
Really good. Thank you for coming on to the show.
My pleasure. My pleasure.
So, obviously, I've got to take it right back to your series of Married at First Sight. So much to ask you. Talk me through, before we get into the meat and potatoes of it all, how did it come about for you? Did you think you ummed and ahed? Was you a fan of the show? How did you end up applying? I want to know the lot.
I'm going to be honest, I've never really watched it.
Okay.
I've watched one series. My twin sister was a big fan of the show, and she watched the previous series and said, oh, you should apply, you're single. And I was like, no. And then she just went, she kept on badgering me, and she was pregnant, and I was just like, okay, I'll just do it. I'll never get on the show, but at least I can send her the confirmation email saying that you've applied. And the next thing I know, I got a phone call, and I sort of went from there. I did an R for a couple of months after getting sort of like through the whole process. And eventually I just went, fuck it, why not?
Absolutely. What's the audition process like? So obviously that they accept your application form or something, and then do you go to meet a producer? Is it done on Zoom? How does it all go down?
So there's like three or four meetings on Zoom with different people. And then there's an in-person meeting in London sort of like 4 or 5 weeks in. Well, there was for me. I mean, other people have been rushed through quicker than that, I'm sure. And you meet with a site guy, and you meet with a couple of producers. And yeah, they sort of just get to know you a little bit. And then there's lots of like forms you've got to fill in and stuff like that. Legal, and also, you know, what are you interested in? What are you looking for? What are your sort of red flags? What are your green flags? That sort of stuff. And you sort of work through all of those. And then they say, yeah, we found someone perfect for you.
So during all them questions and getting to know red flags, green flags, do they want to know? And obviously, I know there's a hell of a lot more to it. I'm not a psychologist or a doctor, obviously, spoiler alert. But I know that the experts, they look into it on a deeper level than this. But do they ask, what's your physical type? Or do yes. they? Oh, they do.
Yeah, 100%. Like they, you know, they ask, you know, would you be open to dating someone in the sort of porn industry? Are you open to dating different colors, different, you know, sexes? You know, all of that sort of stuff. You know, what are you willing? What are you looking for? What's your normal type? What do you generally find attractive, etc. I mean, I think that's why, you know, when Adam says, well, I normally go for petite brunettes, and Adam said that, that's probably what he went, you know, when he was going through the process, he said, that's what I'm really looking for. And then they don't give it to you because that creates drama.
And when you get a 6 foot blonde girl, you're thinking, well, I've told you I like 5 foot brunette. But I guess it is, because there is a lot more to, obviously, I've not been on this show. I find the whole concept fascinating, and I spoke to a lot of you guys after each series. It so intrigues me because I think as us unexperts, whatever the layman's term for it is, for us Joe Blogs, we do kind of, and obviously the inside that counts and all that jazz and that, but there has to be a physical... You have to fancy the person. Do you know what I mean? When it comes to doing jiggy jigs, they could be the funniest person in the world. They could be lovely. Do you know what I mean? Make you the best steak in the world, or if you're a vegan, I don't know, a grilled aubergine. But
I'm definitely not a vegan.
but someone's got to get your pecker up, so to speak.
Well, 100% agree. Like, I just think that but they can't manufacture that.
No.
I do think that they don't listen always. And I think that there's a lot of faith by the public in the experts, but fundamentally they're not making a love, you know, a dating program. They're making an entertainment program. And so with that in mind, I'm sure they could rematch people better. Even if you took the cast of the last 2 years and put them back together in different ways, they might find more long-term matches.
So you get the call or the email and they're like, right, Casper, happy days, mate. I'm sure they said it more professional than that, but we found you, we found you a wife. Then the wedding day comes. Talk me through that. Like, is your arsehole flapping on a day like that?
Yes. Yeah, like, honestly, my brother's comment to me after I got married was, I didn't realise knees actually knocked. and you're just standing there staring at a wall for like 25 minutes. You can hear people sort of chatting behind you. You've got a producer sort of in front of you to your left saying, telling you, getting ready to turn around. And you're just waiting. And yeah, of course you're nervous. You have no idea what you're doing. Like, it seemed like such a great idea. I was always on the fence with it, really. But like, it seems like this, you build up in your head, she's the one.
Mm.
She is going to be the one. She's the one I've been looking for. And you're excited, you're nervous. Is she going to like you? Are you going to like her? All of these things. And you're just standing there staring at a wall with all these emotions going through you.
So then producer gives you the nod or whatever they do. Your bride comes walking down and it's Emma. Now, it went kind of viral on the social media that you said to Emma, I think it was on your honeymoon or was it actually on your wedding day, that she reminds you of your sister.
I said that to her on the honeymoon, but I said it to the camera on the wedding day.
Yeah.
So that makes sense.
Yeah. When do you think, when do you get a deja vu of your sister? When you first lay eyes and she's walking up the aisle?
Absolutely not. I would say, like, my sister probably had more physical features in common with Lee, Emma's sister. But in terms of the moment when I went, oh my God, they were both laughing at my dad mishearing something. And they both had a really similar laugh. And I sort of looked over from where I was sitting at the time and I just went, oh God, because it was really hard to shape that laugh and not equate it with my twin sister rather than Emma.
Needless to say, from that point on, when you're looking at your wife and thinking of your sister, do you kind of know instantly from that point, this can't go anywhere?
I mean, for me, I was there to try. The thing that turned me off most on...
Apart from her looking like your sister or reminding you of your sister, that aside, what else turned you off?
I mean, that turned me off, but like for me, I was on there to have kids and get married.
Yeah.
And all of Emma's friends and family just said, now she's not interested in having kids. And I was just sitting there going, I spent the whole of this show saying, and the build up to this saying, I want to find a wife, settle down, have kids, live in the countryside. And she has no interest in that. So in my head, I was just like, oh my God, I was withdrawn. And then I saw that and she reminded me of my sister. And I was like, this is really hard to just break past these initial issues.
Yeah. Well, they're all quite big things, aren't they? And especially, and I think you have to be aligned in terms of, regardless of being on a TV show or not, I think it's quite a deal breaker. Obviously, I haven't got kids. I'm a gay man. You're nearly going to fall off your chair there. I know I hide it very well, Casper. No one really knows. The Daily Mail, they'll be writing an article by the end of the show. But no, I love the Daily Mail. sorry, I've lost my train after coming out live on air.
I think if you're dating in your 30s, kids is the first thing you ask. If you're thinking really seriously about someone, it's kids. Like, first question you ask, do you want kids, yes or no?
Because it's something that would come up in traditional real-life dating. Now, because you're not dating your wife or your husband until you're married, it's kind of hard for that to come up, but it's one of them that you've kind of got to be on the same page, because many couples do break up. They can be together for years, but if one wants kids and one don't, there's no real getting around that. Do you know what I mean?
This is the thing for me. Was like, I don't know, in the first commitment ceremony, I told the experts, this is my life you're fucking with. Now, the only reason I said that, one of the reasons I said that comment was like, I went on this show to find love. It's the only reason I went on. I think you could probably tell by my social media presence, I don't really care about being particularly famous. So it was to find love, and they set me up with someone, and I went, this is like one of the things I said, and every single answer is hopefully she wants to have kids and settle down, and they didn't give me that, and I'm like, why am I here?
So what was your thoughts? Because obviously TV, it's all pre-recorded and stuff. Things start to go out episodes after you've lived that experience. You're then sat there watching the show back. Then social media, I'm guessing you then start to look at what people are interacting and saying about the show. Part of the parcel of doing reality TV or any TV, that social media, everyone has an opinion, that they say, well, it happens. But a lot of people on social media had the feeling and accused you of not being invested in the experience, and they think that you wasn't really there for the right reasons. What's your reply to that? Because you're telling me that you really did. You wanted to find the one. You wanted kids. You'd gone into it 150%. But a lot of the audience thought you was there for shits and giggles.
I mean, let's be fair. That experience is not shits and giggles.
No.
And I wouldn't put my life on hold. I've got a disabled mum. My sister was about to give birth. I've got two dogs at home. I didn't go there for any other reason than hopefully to find love. Now, I hated it. Vast swathes of that experience. You know, it just really wasn't me. It wasn't how I like spending my life. I didn't really care if I was on TV or not. And so, yeah, I was 100% invested in trying to find my wife. Now, at the same time, maybe I had unrealistic expectations, but fundamentally, I was looking for a woman who wants to settle down, live in the countryside, own dogs, and have kids. Mm. Now, it's not that broader thing to say, can you find me someone who'd be interested in doing that? But because I think they'd cast Emma first, and then it went, right, we need someone who's going to fit the Mr. Darcy to her Bridget Jones storyline. And they found me and they went, he'll do. Mm. I don't feel like the experts really put much time into what I asked for.
So do you feel like you was a little bit stitched up?
Yeah, I think, you know, that they wanted Emma and they got Emma. And I mean, Emma had way more speaking parts during the show than I did. And they had me just on there as her other half. And I just, you know, that I got out of the experience thinking, you know, I was only on there so Emma Barnes was on TV and they could sell Emma Barnes.
What was your thoughts watching this episodes back? Because when you sat on the sofa with your Jaffa Cakes or your Maltesers, whatever you're eating, and you're seeing this, because obviously when you're living and breathing an experience and filming a TV show, you don't know what's going to make it to screen and actually go 100%. On air, because you're filming for hours and hours. You've got no idea what they're going to pick, what storyline they're going with, and then also what the guys and girls in the edit are going to do with it and what's ending up on the cutting room floor. So when you're sat on your sofa and you're watching it, what's going through your mind in terms of the story they've gone with and also the edit?
Well, for me, I looked at it and I just went, you know, they've just cut reality out of this. Like, you know, my truth and what I experienced and what I saw and the reactions I saw from the people I really got on with from the show, and I'm watching it going, this didn't happen like that. And they've taken that out to protect themselves, or they're taking that out because who needs justification for actions. I mean, yeah, it was ludicrous, some of the editing. You know, you didn't hear, let's say, during the moment where I really fucked up and said, I don't normally go for curvy women. Yeah. Mm. Let's be fair. Emma had started that conversation with me saying she didn't fancy me either. But they didn't leave that in because that wouldn't create so much drama. And so you had this weird situation where you're watching it back and you're watching people react to what is effectively half-truth the whole time and going, this is what I think of you. And you're going, that's fine because you weren't there.
What did people say on social media in response to you telling Emma that you don't go for curvy women?
Well, pretty much what you guys said when you interviewed Emma. I'm hardly an oil painting myself, or, you know, you can't say that you don't go for curvy women because you're a bit curvy yourself. Like, and I'm like, this is a personal choice thing. This isn't, people who are curvy must go for curvy people, and people who are thin must go for thin people, and, you know, dark-haired people must go with dark-haired people.
Yeah, but that was most of my trolling,
and I could explain it away because I was just like, this is ludicrous. You can't go around saying, you can't call people fat and then call me fat. Like, it's just ridiculous.
Mm. Yeah, so it's a funny one because, like you say, there would have been a whole conversation. And obviously, I mean, I get the nature of the beast. I did a reality show for 10 years straight, so I know exactly how it comes to edits. And a lot of people think that you kind of get a behind the scenes screening and you know what the episode's going to be.
No.
I mean, you never know until the public knows, so you're never tipped off. Did you find social media hard to deal with in terms of when the show was out? Because you say you felt like you were stitched up with the edit, you were stitched up with the wife, and then the narrative that they've kind of gone with, because he did come across that you was quite, and again, this is probably part of the reason they put you on the show, you are quite opinionated, and that makes for good TV, do you know what I mean? It's good for someone to have opinions, and you've clearly got something about you to get through the hundreds of thousands that apply. But when it comes to the social media, how was that for you? Because you can have the thickest skin in the world, but sometimes it is a kick in the tits.
I'm going to say this. I mean, Christ knows what it says about the women of the UK, but I got far more girls asking me out than people calling me an arsehole.
Mm.
And so, for me, I was just like, okay, there's something that I'm doing okay and I'm not that bad a guy. And yeah, I've got opinions, but generally I'm caring, I'm kind, I just want people to be happy. I believe in true love. Like, and so you know, I also don't look like or behave like your standard reality TV star. I wasn't on there for as much airtime as possible or playing a role or anything like that. I was just me.
Yeah. So then it comes to the whole experience is done and then reunion comes about. Talk me through reunion, because that in itself looks like a whole experience.
So I was only invited to the one reunion, not the latest one.
Was you happy about that, though?
I had no interest in it, really.
But you can give a toss.
I wasn't that fussed, really.
Nah.
I mean, the first reunion's filmed sort of 6 weeks after the end of filming, maybe, something like that. So it's relatively new, and you're used to it. You're still in the world a little bit. And for me, it was just a really good laugh to catch up with people. I didn't really worry about it. I mean, me and Emma left on pretty good terms, and I just thought, yeah, let's leave it there and move on. I mean, it was part of my life. I've done it. I've moved on. And, I was really lucky. Lots of people lost their job going into it. And I took a sabbatical, got to come back to my same job, my same life, and was absolutely fine. So, yeah, I can't really complain.
And I know, like, I could ask you questions all show, but I've literally got a couple of minutes left. But I know you've met someone else and you've called her the love of your life, and I'm happy for you, honestly. But I'm intrigued to know, post-reunion, have you got any contact with Emma now? What's the situation there?
Honestly, we haven't been in contact at all since, about the third week of airing of the TV show. She was doing stuff and saying stuff in the press that I didn't particularly like, and I just went, you know what? They really need this in my life. It's going to be what it's going to be. I'm going to get out at the end of it, and I'm going to move on with my life. And so for me, she's something in the past, and you know, I wish her well, but at the same time, I just really didn't need drama or anything like that. I wanted to live a simple life.
No, of course you didn't. What did she say in the press that pissed you off?
oh, she waited 2 weeks too late to then release an article saying, oh, people need to back off my husband. The hate had died down a bit, and well, completely pretty much. And then she sort of brought it back up, and she was saying stuff about stuff that hadn't happened on camera to the press. And I'm like, we're not meant to be doing this. The press team are telling me you shouldn't do this, you know? And I was being very respectful, very quiet. I hadn't said a word to anyone or anything. And she was out there, you know, saying her truth and stuff. And I was like, this is not really fair. You're telling me to shut up, the press team and, you know, the welfare team. And she's out there getting to say whatever she wanted. And, you know, they did a couple of times go to her and say, look, you can't say this. You shouldn't do this. It's got to be corrected. Mm. But I just, for me, I went, I'm showing you the respect by not saying anything and just, you know, keeping it quiet. And you're not doing the same.
Yeah. Oh, Casper, yeah. Thank you so much for coming on the show. I'm glad it wasn't too traumatic for you. You've gone on, you found the love of your life. She don't remind you of your sister, which is always a bonus. She wants kids, perfect. You seemed aligned. So best of luck with everything. I'm glad it's all worked out for you, mate, and appreciate you coming on Access All Areas.
Thanks very much. It's been a pleasure.
Take care, mate. Bye.
FUBAR Radio.